And we're going to be reading now, if you'd like to open your Bibles, from John 13, chapter 13, from verses 31 to 38. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Thanks, Talan.
Good morning. There you go. Good to see you all. We're going to spend some time in these words. If you haven't met me before, my name is Dilan Jasingha. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'll be bringing God's word this week. If you were not here last week, we started this sermon series on love. We talked about the greatest commandment for us is to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And Jesus said the second is love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, the natural outworking or the overflow of our love for God is our love for our neighbor. If you remember, if you have been part of our church for the past couple of months, we are going through this strategic planning season, and we adopted a set of values, and one of our values is to actually this, in response to God's love for us, we love him and are committed to love all people. So this week, and then the next couple of weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of expand on this love for all people or love for our neighbor. And this week it is going to be loving one another. Loving people in the church, our fellow brothers and sisters. And next week, Ed's going to preach about loving our neighbor, those who are outside the church. And in a couple of weeks' time, we are having a guest speaker, Edwina Murphy, who will look at loving the marginalized in our community. And then John Joe will finish up the sermon series on helping us to understand how can we love God's creation. How can we love God's creation? Because all our loves should flow from our love for God, isn't it? So I'm looking forward for the next few weeks, but we need to get through this week first, so I'm going to pray. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity for us to be here, and Father, please guide us as we listen to your word. And Father, may your spirit be at work in us, Lord, that we be transformed into the image and the likeness of Jesus. So we commit ourselves to you, commit this remaining time to you, and ask, Father, that you be at work in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I came across this Peanuts cartoon strip, right? And I think it's Lucy who says, "Ha! You're a doctor." That's a big laugh. And you could never be a doctor. And you know why? Just because you don't love mankind. That's why. And then he turns around and says, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Do you feel that sometimes? I do. I love the church, but I love the church more if there weren't any people. Or of all the places, I think church can be the hardest place to love. We have people from different nations, different backgrounds, different ethnic groups, people who speak different languages, people who have different tastes of music, people with different work ethics, people with different expectations, and we have people who want milk before adding hot water into their coffee. And we have people who like international roast more than Macona coffee. And there are those who look at a glass and say, well, that glass is half full. And others who might think, well, that glass is half empty. Knowingly or unknowingly, we hurt people, don't we? We get on each other's nerves. We are messy as a church. Now, we are messy because God, who has started a good work in us, is not finished with us. He will be one day, and that day is going to be glorious, isn't it? Where we are all going to be in perfect harmony. The creation, we looked at it a few weeks ago as we looked at Romans. God's going to bring everything into the perfect condition. But until then, how should we live? How should we live with one another? That's what we're going to think about this morning. How should we live with one another in the church? And if you've closed your Bibles, let me invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 13, verse 31. Now we know that Jesus is talking about loving one another in the church and not those who are outside the church in this passage because of its context. Right? So, he says, well, if you look at the beginning of John chapter 13, we have seen Jesus has finished his time with the world, ministering to the world, and now he has got together his close group of friends. And if you read verses 31 to 33, you will see Jesus calls this group of friends, this group of close friends, dear children. So he's actually talking to those who have been with him for 3 years, those who have believed in him, those who have followed him closely. So the context here tells us that Jesus is telling specifically this group of disciples how they should love one another. He talks about loving others outside elsewhere, but here he's talking about how you should love one another. So as disciples or followers of Jesus today, these words apply to us here at Burwood Baptist Church. We are to love one another in the church. Now what does Jesus say about loving one another in the church? First, loving one another is a command to obey, isn't it? It's a command to obey. Now, you probably is aware that due to the increasing number of COVID cases, masks are recommended, highly recommended. Some of you wear masks here in the church. And it is a good piece of advice to follow. But you may remember, there was a time that it was mandatory. You could not leave your house without wearing a mask. You would be fined if you had done that. Look at verse 34 in this passage. Notice Jesus here doesn't say loving one another in the church is something that he highly recommends. You know what? I highly recommend that you love one another. He doesn't say, well, here's a good suggestion for you to follow. Love one another. It's not a great piece of advice that he gives. You know, loving one another in the church is a command. says, I give you a new command. Loving one another is not optional. It is not something that he expects us to do when we feel like it, or when it is convenient, or when we have received love from somebody else. Later in John chapter 14, in the same context, Jesus tells his disciples, if you love me, you'll obey my command. If you love me, keep my command. And then he follows up in chapter 15. He says, this is my command. Love one another. Love one another. And did you notice in verse 34, he says, this is a new commandment. But there's nothing entirely new about this commandment, right? Because in Mark chapter 13, as we saw last week, Jesus already told them from the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Leviticus that we should be committed in loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So how is this then a new commandment? In what sense is it a new commandment? Now, this is a new commandment in the sense that Jesus gives a new standard, isn't it? Now, look at the second half of verse 33. He says, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, you must love one another. Now, again, notice, Jesus isn't saying, love one another as you love yourself. No, he says, love one another as I have loved you. He not only gives us a command to obey, no, he gives us a model to follow, doesn't he? He gives us a model to follow. Jesus becomes our standard. Now think for a moment, what sort of people did Jesus have following him? And this group of people who he is talking to. His disciples were all ordinary men and women, weren't they? Fishermen, there was a tax collector, one of them was a zealot. James and John, you'll remember, they were fighting for the top two spots with Jesus. They were kind of despising the rest. And some of them were very, very slow to understand. And then you have Peter who speaks before he thinks. And he was impulsive, and finally you will see that he denies knowing Jesus. Thomas was a doubter. Judas was greedy. I mean, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then all of them abandoned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet he loved them all, didn't he? Because he loved them all, he prayed for them. He spent time with them. He taught them. He provided for their needs. He corrected them. Sometimes he rebuked them when they got things wrong. And you may remember, he even calls Peter Satan. And if you look at back to John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, having loved them, he showed the full extent of his love. What did he do? You probably know the story. He got up from the table. He wore a towel around his waist. He went around washing the dirty feet of his friends, even the dirty feet of Judas, who he knew would be betraying him. But the most extraordinary act of love came a few hours later, isn't it? When Jesus hung on a cross to show how much he loved them, how much he loved us. See, friends, to love Jesus, then we must be humble, putting the needs of others before ours. To love like Jesus, we must be willing to serve one another we are going to be compelled by love to serve each other in ways that may not be that glamorous. To love like Jesus is to love sacrificially. Jesus' love was costly. It costed his life to love people. To love like Jesus is to love generously. He had time for people. He waited for that lady who went to bring the whole town back to Jesus, the Samaritan woman. He waited. He had time. To love like Jesus, we must be willing to forgive one another. To love like Jesus, we must initiate love for others. You see, we didn't love him. No, he loved us first, didn't he? Well, people often say, that's Jesus. I mean, it was easy for Jesus because he was God. I mean, he's different. Yes, he is different. Yes, he is God. But the Bible says he was just like all of us. He was tempted in the same way as you and me. Yet he was sinless. And he doesn't ask us to do something that he hasn't practiced. We must learn the art of love from Jesus, not the world, because the world will say, well, you know what, write a song about love. Just show your emotions. Just write a card and say, yes, I love you. Now, Jesus showed it in action. And we must experience his love so we can love one another. Now, if you are a regular here, you will know that, as I mentioned earlier, that we are in this process of discerning where God wants us to be as a church. And we have sent out a survey. This morning I saw there was only 5 people who have done the survey. There's about 70 people here. So I'd expect a few more surveys to come back. So if you have not received one, if you want a paper one, we can provide one for you. But we want to know what Jesus wants us to be as a church. Now, we can do so many things, isn't it, to attract people to the church. We can have a great big sign in front. We can do it in neon or a computer sign. We can have a very fancy website. We can demolish this building and come up with a fabulous building. We can have great music, great preaching. We can have a great morning tea every Sunday. We can attract people by perhaps offering to give them a brand new car for the lucky visitor who comes to church. Now, all these things certainly will attract a crowd to the church, isn't it? But Jesus was not in the business of attracting people to a building. He wasn't about people knowing where the Bold Baptist Church is. He was about people knowing him, the Lord of the Bold Baptist Church. And what will attract people to Jesus? Have a look at verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Notice what happens when we are faithful in obeying God's command to love one another. And when we actually start loving one another the way Jesus loved us, we become a sign to the world. We become a pointer to the world, pointer to Jesus. Everyone will know that we belong to Christ if we love one another. Friends, if we are going to be effective in reaching out this community, the lost in this community, they need to see that we are loving one another first. That we love one another in the way that Christ loved us. If you are going to be a church that is committed of loving God and loving all people, then we need to be a church here and now that is characterized by our love for each other. Now, you may remember last year in November, we did this NCLS survey, church survey, and we just got the results of that. And this is one area, actually, I want to commend you. I want you to be proud of, because we are doing really well in this department of loving one another. I don't know whether you can see that. Belonging and inclusion. Belonging here. People here, 92% feel belonged here. Inclusive, 97% feel, well, we include people. We are inclusive. And 91% of people, you said, that it is easy to find friendship here. And that is great. Good work. Keep it up. That is well done. But there is a few more percentage points to go to become 100%. Isn't it? We can do it. Let's keep doing it. Let's not drop the ball. Because by this, the world will know Jesus is our Lord. By this, the world will know that Jesus is our Lord. Finally, I want to show you how we should not respond. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in verses 36-38 because we spent some time a few weeks ago as we looked at John's gospel. But I want to pick up on Peter's response. Now, Jesus has been talking to the disciples, you know what, love one another. This is a new commandment. By this, everyone will know that you belong to me. And listen to what Peter says. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Why can't I come with you? I can even lay down my life to you. I mean, can you see? I mean, Peter just completely misses the point, doesn't it? He just ignored everything that Jesus has just said. And he's just saying, hang on a sec, forget about the command. What did he just say about going away? He ignores the command to love. And he was all about his commitment, all about wanting to serve. Wasn't he? And that's what we tend to do sometimes, right? We ignore the command to love one another. And we get stuck in serving. Serving the Lord. But we don't love people. And when we don't love people, you know what happens? We come to church right on time. And we get stuck serving. And then we do our rostered job perfectly, really well. And then we pack our bags and we go home. Or we tend to come to church right on time, or maybe 10 minutes after the service has started, and we sneak just before the last song is sung. We sneak out. We don't stay for morning tea. We don't talk to people. Or we stick with our clique. When we don't love people, we don't connect with people during the week. We don't have time for Bible studies. And I doubt that we pray for one another because we don't know one another. We love them, but we don't know one another. And the church in Corinth was a great example of that, friends. It was a great church, wasn't it? They had great preaching. They had a great ministry to the community. People had lots of gifts and they were speaking in tongues and prophecy and they gave generously, but they lacked love for one another. People couldn't get along with one another. Believers took other believers to court. There was sexual immorality in the church. There were cliques in the church. Rich people didn't really wait for the poor to come. They just finished off the communion meal before they came. Their service, their use of gifts were all a show to others. So Paul had to add a separate chapter on love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Bev just read a few verses of love. But I want to read the first few verses of that chapter. I don't have a slide for that, so you might have to turn your Bibles to do that if you want to follow me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, "If I speak in tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries of all and have all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." And then he goes on to talk about what love is. Friends, serve with all the gifts that you have. Serve the Lord, but add love to your service. Don't be like Peter or the Corinthian church. And this morning, if you're lacking in love for one another, maybe it's because you never truly trusted in Jesus as your Savior. Because we can't and we don't obey his commands if we have not trusted him. And we can't and we won't follow his model if we don't trust him. And if we have not experienced his love, perhaps that's your first step if you're not a believer this morning. Confess your sins and trust in Jesus. Be part of his family. Experience God's love. And then you will be able to truly love one another as Jesus has loved you. If you're a believer, how is your love for one another going? How is your love for the church friends going? Does a heart of love for other believers mark your life? If it is, it confirms that the Spirit of God is at work, because love is actually a fruit of the Spirit. So this morning, just look around. If you don't want to do that, just after the service, just look around and see, who can you show love to this week? What can you do to show love to someone this week? Who in the congregation you haven't connected properly? What can you do over morning tea during the week to get to know them better, so you can love them better, so you can serve them better? Perhaps you're finding it hard to love someone in the church. Take a moment to reflect what we've just heard this morning. We have a command to love. We have a Lord who loved us while we were still sinners, when we didn't even love him. And he gives us a model to follow. You might want to repent of your lovelessness and ask God to help you to love better. Perhaps ask him to give you opportunities to love someone. So let's make it our aim here at Burwood Baptist Church that we obey the command of loving one another. And let us make it a point that we try and follow the example of Jesus. Let us pray that others will see our love and be drawn not to just the building, no, that they be drawn to Jesus. Jesus, because it is only in him that we find life. We find true love and we find forgiveness. Communion is a wonderful way of reminding ourselves, isn't it? Reminding ourselves and reflect on Christ's love for us. Because here we remember the cost of love, the sacrifice of love, the humility of Jesus. He did all this to show his love for us. That is the model that he gives us to follow. He didn't just stay in heaven and say, all right, I love you, or send a note saying, I love you. No, he came down. He didn't just come down. No, he went up on a cross to show that he loves us and to give us the model to follow. And because he died, we can have a relationship with God. And if you haven't believed in Jesus, I remind you again, take a moment to know who Jesus is and trust in him for the forgiveness of your sins. I'm going to give us a moment to close our eyes and reflect on what we've just heard this morning. You might want to take this time to thank Jesus for his love. You might want to take this time as a time to confess and repent of your sins, of not loving people the way Jesus wants us to love them. You might want to take a moment to ask him to help you to love better. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder, the challenge, and even a rebuke for us to love one another. And Lord, we pray, please give us your grace in the times we fail, and help us in our efforts to love those whom you have loved and brought into the church. Help us remember how much you loved us, so that our love will be a response to what you have done for us. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here, if you haven't received a communion pack, you might want to put your hand up. We've got a couple of people over there. Few people, thank you. If you keep your head up, please, you can join you at the back. All good, thank you. If you're visiting us today, communion is for those who have trusted in Jesus, those who have believed in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, those who have said yes to Jesus and started a new life following Jesus. And if you are from a different denomination, we welcome you to participate in communion and remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Allow me to read these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 onwards. Here the Apostle Paul reminds the church, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and saying, after giving thanks, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." He goes on to say, "So then, whenever whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup." So we're going to do that this morning. We've given some time to examine ourselves, and we're going to break the bread. We're going to remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The night Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat this together. And after that, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant." We have a new relationship with God our Father through Jesus. And he said to remind ourselves of that, to be thankful of that. "Drink this, all of you, in remembrance of me." Let's drink this together. Let me pray. Father, we are thankful for these elements that we've just received, for the bread and the cup, and we recognize there is nothing supernatural in these. But Father, we thank you that it is a reminder for us of your great love that was shown on that cross. We are thankful because of this great love, because of this great sacrifice. Now we have a new covenant, a new relationship with you. So help us to live out this new relationship. Help us to love one another as you have loved us, as part of this new covenant living. And we ask this, Father, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.